So the first reading is Corinthians 2, so second book of Corinthians, the whole of chapter 4. Hope you're sitting comfortably. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, Let light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Second reading is from Matthew 13. Starting at 44 to 47. The parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Contrast of length of readings there. we're going to think, as you've already discovered, about treasure this morning. But before we go any further, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the treasure that is your word. And as we look at this passage in 2 Corinthians now, Lord, help us to hear your voice and to see your treasure. In Jesus' name, amen. I wonder what comes to your mind when you think of treasure. Maybe it's treasure hunting. Maybe you were trying to find the words from the readings on the screen then. I don't quite know what was happening. Computers do strange things at times. When you're thinking of treasure, maybe you think of following a treasure map. Finding X marks the spot. What might be there when you dig down? Following a treasure hunt, a bit like Annika Rice. I stopped the clock, I found the treasure. Maybe that's just me. Or it's showing my age particularly, maybe, at that point. Or the way we see famous people on TV now called national treasures. It's a strange phrase, that, isn't it? I think we're all national treasures, really. But anyway. So we are thinking today about treasure, but not that shiny stuff hidden in a little box in a desert island or a big treasure chest, but the greatest treasure of all, The one described in our reading today from 2 Corinthians. The one that we've already thought a little bit about with my very big Lego. But of course, as with any treasure, the first thing we need to do is to find that treasure and to know what it is. Oh, I've done it the wrong way. Hang on. Let's go back. There we go. The first thing we need to do is to find the treasure. The fact is, as Christians, we have such a treasure. And this passage in 2 Corinthians shows us what this treasure is, and so much more than that as well. So what is this treasure? Well, if we look in verse 7 of our reading in 2 Corinthians today, Paul says this, "Therefore, since we have this treasure." So if Paul says something like, "Therefore," we know it's there for a reason. And we need to go back to those verses to see what this treasure is and how it is described. If we look back just one verse to verse 6, we read this. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." The light of the gospel displays the glory of Christ. The light shines out of darkness. His light shines in our hearts, which gives us the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Therefore, Jesus shows us the glory of God. This treasure is the knowledge of God's glory shown to us in Christ. This treasure is Jesus bringing God's glory to us and shining in a dark world, so that we in our hearts know God's glory. That is quite inspiring, actually, isn't it? That in our hearts we know God's glory. When you know Jesus, you know God's glory. This treasure. This treasure, of course, is the good news of Jesus. And this theme of treasure in Scripture is quite apparent. If you went and did a search in a concordance, or if you went online onto one of the Bible apps, you would find lots of verses that talk about treasure. And in our other reading, we have that beautiful, shorter parable about a man finding treasure in a field. And that treasure being like the kingdom of God. This man who sold everything to buy that field so he could have that treasure. That is just how precious the kingdom of God is. That is just how precious the gospel of Jesus is. Using all your money to find that treasure in that field. I wonder, do we live as if that is the case, as if this gospel, this good news of Jesus, the kingdom of God, is the most important treasure? I wonder whether we do. And the problem is that for many today, and at the time that Paul was writing this, that this treasure is or was veiled, hidden. If we look at the start of this passage, Paul alludes to the fact that he and his colleagues didn't distort the word of God, which suggests that some might have been doing so. They might have been veiling this treasure. Paul is saying that he and his colleagues were not drawing attention to themselves, but they were plainly preaching the truth of the gospel, this treasure, to all who would listen. But it may well be that some weren't. Brothers and sisters, we need to be alert to the fact that some today may be preaching a false gospel. Always, always test what anyone says, including those of us standing here. Test it against Scripture. If you're watching something on YouTube, if you're watching something on Christian TV, please be on guard for those who might be distorting the Word of God, which in some ways is hiding the treasure. Check against the Bible. Paul goes on to talk about those who are yet to believe, that they are blinded by the God of this age, that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the treasure. So what does Paul mean by the God of this age? Well, he probably means the enemy. He probably means Satan. Satan does not want us to know the truth. He doesn't want us to know this treasure because it is life transforming. But of course, the God of this age may appear differently for each one of us, for different people. The God of this age may blind people through all the things that can get in the way of meeting Jesus. We could probably find lots of things which fulfill that criteria. It could be celebrity, it could be social media, it could be fake news, it could be addictions, it could be stuff that we don't need, and so on and so on. Now that is what blinds those who don't believe. But I wonder whether some of us are blinded a little bit to the treasure. Things that get in the way of us seeing the treasure of this gospel. Maybe seeing other things as more of a treasure. Things which get in the way of us being fully part of the kingdom of God and being all in. So this treasure is the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Of course, if we're trying to find the treasure, we need to know where to look. Where is this treasure found? Well, this passage tells us that this treasure is in jars of clay. And of course, they're not actual physical jars of clay. That would be a bit strange, wouldn't it? Trying to find God's kingdom in a jar of clay. those clay jars, I said J. Clars, I don't know why. They are our bodies. They are our fragility. This treasure is found in us, in those of us who believe the good news of Jesus, in our hearts, in our response to Jesus. Now, I doubt you've ever called yourself a clay jar before. But it's actually a really helpful description of us, because it reminds us that we are fragile. Clay pots are easily broken. That's a great illustration because it's a big contrast to the treasure within. I was trying to think of an example to sort of picture it in today's world, and the only image I had was, please forgive me for this, the only image I had was carrying a pedigree kitten in a paper bag. The kitten's like the treasure, really beautiful and not necessarily so powerful, but the paper bag is quite fragile, isn't it? And us being the clay jars carrying the gospel is like us, the fragile ones, carrying this beautiful, incredible, life-changing gospel treasure. It's not about us being strong and powerful, because the gospel is powerful and a strong treasure. It's a beautiful image, isn't it? It's a priceless, glorious, stunning treasure. It's life-transforming, eternity-transforming. And it's held in clay jars, us, fragile, breakable. And it shows us that this power that we have is not from us. It is from God. Later on, Paul talks about this thorn in his side, later on in 2 Corinthians. He talks about this weakness that he has, and at no point do we know what that is, which is probably a good thing. But in that verse, when he talks about that, he says that in our weakness, God is strong. God's grace is sufficient. So this isn't about us, it is about the treasure within. As a sort of aside, that's a danger in some ways of the large Christian celebrity, for example. It's so easy to look to the celebrity and not to the gospel that they are preaching. And we look to them as the power rather than the good news that they are speaking of. And that means that when they fail, when they fall, as has been sadly seen in recent years, it causes chaos. It has to be about Jesus. So that is the treasure and where it is. The key thing with treasure is to keep hold of it, to not leave it out of sight, whatever happens. And Paul goes on to talk about that. When we get to verses 8 and 9 in this passage, they show this in reality, that we are fragile clay jars, that life is not easy. And I'm sure many of us can relate to how Paul describes it. Paul talks about how he and those who he's with are facing opposition. And he says, we are hard-pressed on every side. We're perplexed, we're persecuted, we're struck down. But in each case, it's not the end. Because he says, but we're not crushed. We're not in despair. We're not abandoned. We're not destroyed. And of course, what Paul talks about himself there, he talks about for us as well. And I've been really struck this week by how Paul explains this. He links it so beautifully to the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus crucified, but not defeated. Those at the time might have thought so, but we know he wasn't. And that's why Paul then says that we carry around the death of Jesus in our body so that the resurrected Jesus can be revealed. This treasure of the gospel revealed through our hardship. I was having a really hard time recently, and I was in a meeting with some Christians elsewhere, and we were praying for one another. And one of the people that was there simply turned to me and said, "When you weep, Jesus weeps with you." Now, I've said that to other people, and you may well have said that to others as well. But in that moment, I knew that to be true. Death is at work in us, but life is at work in you, says Paul. Jesus is with us. He has gone before us in this fragility of life, being hard-pressed, persecuted, struck down. But he conquered death and gives us hope, and he left his spirit to be with us and to be at work in us. Now, at the moment, it's not hard to feel those things, is it? To feel hard-pressed, to feel struck down, to feel persecuted even on a personal level. It's not hard to look in despair at the world around us, whether that's the events in Haiti or in Afghanistan or the global pandemic, to feel overwhelmed by what is going on around us. But this passage shows us that God is big enough for it all, that we can feel like there is nothing we can do. But Jesus has defeated it all. Whatever you are facing today, Jesus weeps with you, but he has made a way through as well. And oh my goodness, he weeps for this world. I love the Message version of these verses. It says this: we carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Isn't that a wonderful way of describing those verses? Paul, of course, is writing to the church in Corinth and using himself and his colleagues as examples. But we have examples all around us of those who have lived just like this. And on a week where we've seen the horrific events in Afghanistan, and in a time when we know that Christians are persecuted around this world, we can learn from them. We can learn from our brothers and sisters who are facing persecution and trials of all sorts. Nothing blinds them, though, because they have nothing else. So they cling to God, to the treasure they have. And we have an incredible treasure in the gospel, in the hope of eternity with Jesus, that we will be raised with him, that all our sins are forgiven in Jesus' death and resurrection, that we are part of the kingdom of God, which is here and will be fully revealed when Jesus returns. I could go on for a while giving you examples and things like that, but I will stop there. But we've been singing some of those words this morning, "For God so loved the world." Do you believe that today? What difference is it making? Because it should make all the difference in the world. It doesn't mean life will be easier. It could mean the opposite, in fact. But it does mean that you have the most awe-inspiring hope. Are you treasuring the treasure? And does your life show that? Remember those words of Jesus. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. And finally, of course, when you find the treasure, you don't really need to keep it just to yourself, do you? Unless you're really greedy. The next thing is that we're to share the treasure. In verse 13, Paul says, "It is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak." Paul is saying there, because we believe, we cannot stay silent. We have to share this treasure. Because we know that we too will be raised with Jesus. Because we know this incredible hope. Surely we have to tell others so that they too will know the grace of God, this treasure. In other words, if we believe the gospel, we speak the gospel. This treasure, well, it's worth sharing, isn't it? This treasure is the hope of what is to come, of knowing the glory of God shown in the face of Jesus, knowing that we will be raised. Paul says in this passage that what we face is temporary. These troubles in the bigger picture are momentary, not to say that they're not hard. Paul says, what do? We fix our eyes on what is unseen. We fix our eyes on the eternal, on the hope that we have, on the treasure that we have. And right at the end of this passage, Paul comes back to his point at the very start. We do not lose heart. What is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternity, eternal, the hope we have of what is to come. As a church, we are a community of disciples on an adventure together of becoming like Jesus and helping others do the same. How might you share the good news this week? It might not be in words. It might be in deeds. It might be in the way the light of this treasure shines out from you and makes others want what you have. This treasure is far too good, far too powerful to keep to ourselves. So let's go further on our front lines with the treasure of this good news. I'm going to finish by reading some words which my best friend has on the door of her toilet in her house. I have a poster of how to tell if your cat's trying to kill you. But she has something far more edifying than that. You'll be pleased to know I'm not going to read that out. These words I've seen a number of times recently, and they've been really helpful to me. So I thought I would finish by reading these words to you. They're from God. Good morning. I am God, and today I will be handling all your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If life happens to deliver a situation that you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly place it in the something for God to do box. All situations will be handled in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into my box, do not hold on to it worrying about it. Instead, focus on the wonderful things that are in your life now. If this is a situation you think you are capable of handling, please consult me first to make sure it is the proper solution. Remember, I neither slumber nor sleep, so there is no need for you to lose any. Rest in peace, and remember, I am only a prayer away. Amen.